everybody, and welcome to Number One Baseball's Off the Bat. I'm Jana, and joined as always by my co-host, Eric.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Number One Baseball's Off the Bat. I'm Jana, and joined as always by my co-host, Eric.
Hey there, everybody. Sorry about that. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Little technical difficulty is over. The trade deadline, and I blame Matt Latos for this, has really been screwing with the internet.
You know, we were just talking before the show about how this has been a cluster lately, so of course
yeah.
That's going to go smoothly.
Well, and in the time we were down, it looks like the Mets started making a move, so we'll get to that in a minute. It looks like Carlos Gomez may be coming to Citi Field in the very near future. But there have been a ton of trades and a lot of rumors, and we've got all kinds of good stuff for you. We're going to go through the trades that have already happened, preview some of the ones that we're pretty sure are going to happen. I'm looking at you, Cole Hamels, and talk a little bit about the impact. Like I alluded to, obviously your Marlins are making a few moves, as they tend to do at the trade deadline. And in true Marlin fashion, this has become a whole ordeal. A deal that we thought was done this morning, Matt Latos and Michael Morris going to the Dodgers, and allegedly it was just paperwork that they were waiting on, and then the deal was fell apart, and then it was back together, and we were just waiting on the commissioner's office to approve the money since it was over $1 million. That was this afternoon. And now all of a sudden in the last hour, it's become there's a third team in the Braves because the Michael Morse has no place on the Dodgers. He was going to get flipped anyway. So now it looks like the Braves are involved, and even more names have come into this picture where it looks like Alex Wood, Jim Johnson, and Jose Peraza are all going to be involved, as well as draft picks and compensation here and there. People are getting money. So this is kind of developing as it goes. They're saying Hector Oliveira may be involved as well. It's like every 5 minutes something changes on this. But as a Marlins fan, is it refreshing to not be having like a total fire sale at the trade deadline like you have in years past? And is it nice to not be hearing Stanton's name thrown around in trade talks?
I think it is. I think the nice part about this year's trade deadline, I mean, I wish we were obviously on the other side of the coin here and we were buyers instead of sellers. But I think the nice part about it is that going into it, you know, the Marlins, I don't think really had that many pieces that were going to be sold off. I think the few obvious ones and the ones that we're really seeing involved now with this deal are Matt Latos and then obviously Michael Morse. Michael Morse, I'm thrilled to see him showing the door. I thought that was actually a terrible signing when they brought him in. A lot of money for a guy who really hasn't any consistency. So the fact that they can dump his contract, I think will position us well for the offseason, open up the funds a little bit. Kind of going back a few days, I was sad to see Steve Sheets. T-Shek go. I'm a big fan of him, but
I'm
you know,
that one,
yeah, right to the Cardinals. But I think that was a great trade for the Cardinals. But it's hard to pay somebody $6.8 million a year or whatever he's getting paid, you know, to not be a closer. I definitely understand the business side of the deal. So I really can't fault the Marlins too much there. I think he was going to be non-tendered anyway at the end of the year. So to pick up at least a little something for him, I think was smart. But in terms of the other deals, I'm going to be anxious to see kind of what the actual terms of this Dodgers, Braves, Marlins deal is. I like the prospects being thrown around. It's still a little early to tell who's kind of going where. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, but I think it's going to be an exciting trade deadline coming down to Friday.
Well, and this one that's just breaking now as we went live on the show, if you're listening to this on the podcast later, like, spoiler alert. But okay. The Mets have acquired Carlos Gomez from the Brewers for Zach Wheeler and Wilmer Flores. So I mean, I know a lot of people are really high on Carlos Gomez. I know the Mets are a little bit of a mess, and they're trying to actually make it go with this, but I don't know if I want to give up Zach Wheeler. I don't know how I feel about this one just yet. Literally, it just happened, so we're still trying to process. But what do you think so far, first impressions?
I actually like this trade. I think, man, I was about to rip the Mets a new one, too, and wait till we talk about the Phillies. But I think the Mets just had to do something. They have so much starting pitching. And you texted me, you know, even earlier today about the comment that John Smoltz made, and I promised that we'd throw that in there. So here's the plug about, you know, how, about his comment about the Mets rotation and possibly being better than the Braves rotation in the 90s. I'm not going to go that far, but they're very good. They have six solid young guys, though Bartolo Colon, who's currently occupying the spot in the rotation. So they have the prospect to deal. They have Zach Wheeler, who they can deal. I think it's a good move. He's also injured. Let's not forget about that. So there is that little tidbit. Wilmer Flores, I think that the Mets were, you know, the Brewers liked him a lot, so good for the Brewers for getting him thrown in there. I would have not been surprised to see Wheeler for Gomez straight up. But I think the Mets have to do something. They need an outfielder desperately. Juan Uribe was a nice pickup for them and Kelly Johnson, but Carlos Gomez is definitely going to be a nice addition to their outfield. They're last in runs scored in the league, so they need some help to score some runs and get on base.
Yeah, I think if they want to actually, if they're trying to really make an impact, this can't be the end of what they're doing before the trade deadline. I mean, Lucas Duda finally woke up. He hit a home run earlier tonight, but their bats were very, very quiet. Their infield is kind of a hot mess, and they've started making some moves, and they're going in the right direction. But it'll be interesting to see what they're doing. On the flip side of that, like you were mentioning earlier, John Smoltz did make the comment last week that he thinks this Mets rotation may be better than the Braves when he was pitching in the 90s. I think talent-wise, he may be onto something, but there's no way they're ever going to put up the stats and the numbers that any of those Braves pitchers did, because the team behind them is just, comparatively, is just terrible. The numbers will never be the same, but I think stuff-wise, they, on the whole, may be better, but it's kind of hard to say any pitching staff is better than that Braves staff. I mean, look what they did. They're all Hall of Famers.
Yeah. And you can't really credit them with a World Series win, but we can certainly credit them with plenty of division titles wins. So I think the Mets have a long way to go. I think you're on point with saying maybe talent-wise. You know, obviously we have to see it play out. Like you said, we have three Hall of Famers from that rotation. So it's tough to really kind of compare apples to apples. At this point, but I think you're right. It's going to be fun to watch. I think the Mets are very good rotation-wise, but God, they can't play defense and they can't hit. So they got one third of the pieces of the puzzle ready.
Very true. And now that I've done my weekly hijack the show into some kind of tangent that really has nothing to do with what we're talking about, let's get back to the trades. Probably the biggest name one was between the Blue Jays and the Rockies, obviously, where they flipped Tulo and Jose Reyes. Obviously, the Rockies also did get some other pieces and some money, and they shed quite a bit of salary by taking on Reyes' money versus what they owed Tulowitzki. And Tulo went yard tonight. He hit a two-run home run in his debut. Reyes already has a run and I think a stolen base. And so far it's working out. Pretty early on, it's working out well. I think this was an interesting move. You had to move Tulo. There was too much. Are they going to deal him? Are they aren't? Is it going to happen in the off season? It was bigger than the team, and I think it was too much of a distraction. I don't necessarily know if this is the deal I would have done, but if that's the best they have on the table, they did pretty well for themselves. They still have a top five shortstop. Just, it's strange to me because both the Rockies and the Blue Jays really need pitching more than anything else. And, the shortstops are almost comparable. Tulowitzki, I think, is a 1.5 game win above replacement more than Reyes. But it's pretty close.
I saw this trade and I really wasn't sure what to think of it. I mean, I like the Blue Jays going out and being aggressive. Part of me almost wonders, was this more of a proactive trait to keep them, keep Tulowitzki away from somebody else? I don't know. I mean, that's just me spitballing a little bit. But, yeah, it was, I like you said, the Blue Jays need pitching. And here they are going out and getting somebody else to their lineup. Nobody's questioning that their lineup can hit home runs and score plenty of runs.
And I mean, Tulowitzki's your leadoff hitter now. That's kind of insane.
Yeah, and I hope that changes, because that's a little odd to see him in that spot. But yeah, I mean, it seems awfully crazy to me. And I'm surprised they gave up as much as they did to get him. You know, Jose Reyes, I mean, no slouch. I think he's doing the job. I can't see why, you know, they bring on Tulowitzki. They bring on like $50 million, I believe was the number in salary. I mean, yes, Tulowitzki is a much better defensive player right now than Jose Reyes is. Yes, he can hit the ball further and harder than Reyes can. But, you know, Reyes is having actually a pretty good season this year for Toronto, and I guess not for Rockies. So I just didn't see that as being a huge hole for them. But they did give up a decent amount of prospects to get them, too, the three pitchers. So,
And the weird thing to me was that, like, not only did you not really get better, neither team really got better, but one of the things that Jose Reyes kind of dogged him when he was with the Mets was, like, he was kind of a knucklehead and maybe didn't always fit that well in the clubhouse and was like a little bit crazy, but the Blue Jays players seemed legitimately upset that he was leaving. He seemed like he fit really well. Most of those, like the stories of his antics and the weird stuff he would do had kind of calmed down. At least it wasn't as big of a deal. Maybe it's because you're not in the New York market, but still he seemed to be settling down a little bit, and it's not, I mean, they're both very injury-prone players, so you're not really gaining ground there. It just, to me, maybe you're onto something with keeping him away from somebody else. But if anything, it's just the Rockies traded him just to have to stop talking about trading him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it just seems like there's plenty of opportunities. I think they could have pried away bigger talent from somebody like,
San Diego Padres pitching staff is up for grabs. Why aren't they calling the Padres?
I was just puzzled. I think they could have gotten a bigger return. I'm surprised they didn't sit out a little bit longer. But I think the most interesting part now is going to see what other dominoes fall coming out of Colorado. Personally, if you're a pitcher going back to Colorado, man, it's like that's a huge omen for your career. I don't like it. I don't think anybody can thrive there. It's very difficult. So it will be interesting to see. Carlos Gonzalez, obviously, somebody to keep an eye on now. I like him going to the Angels, possibly. Rumors are he might not be moved to the off season, so we'll definitely have to keep tabs on there. But
yeah, that's another one. It's like every hour, it's a different, anywhere from 30% to 70% chance he's going to move. The whole thing's a little bit crazy, but seems about right for the Rockies. You know, it's pretty standard for them. But like I was alluding to earlier, we were talking about the Padres. We did talk a lot about them a few months ago because they went on a major spending spree in the off season. They were signing anything with a pulse and throwing tens of millions of dollars at them. I mean, James Shields was left hanging out on the free agent market, and they still gave him pretty decent money, and they brought in a lot of outfielders and spent a lot of money and really went hard, and it didn't work. It didn't work right away. I think we all saw that coming. You can't rebuild a team in 2 months. It's not doable. It doesn't matter how much money you throw at it. It's just not going to happen. And so now they are basically just, in essence, they're trying to trade their outfield, their pitching staff, their relievers, and they're almost hurting themselves because they have four starters that are available. They're flooding the market all by themselves of pitchers and hurting the value of their own players. I'm not totally sure they know what they're doing or have a real game plan here, and that's a little troubling.
Absolutely. I think the Padres are in big trouble now. They're surging as of late, of course, to make the job even harder. But, yeah, I think they have to make some moves. They want to dump James Shields' contract, which doesn't surprise me. I do think they got in over their head.
Yeah.
Craig Kimbrell, you know, would definitely be heavily sought after. Obviously, he's one of the game's best closers. But, you know, now what we're seeing is that there's so many starting pitchers available on the market. David Price possibly just came on the market. Cole Hamels, obviously,
yeah.
has been
Justin
there for a
Martin
while.
Might be. I mean, the White Sox aren't really sure what they're doing. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But there are a lot of elite ones and twos available. I mean, even if you look at the Matt Latos and the Mike Leakes of the world who aren't necessarily, you know, household hot topic names, but they're guys who have seen postseason action, who have put in work, who've won big games in big spots. And if you're looking for a middle of the rotation guy, or you're looking for somebody to fill out the rest of your line, your rotation, or you need someone who can be a long man out of your bullpen, I mean, there's a lot of good options, and the fact that there are so many out there, you can try and get them cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and the more players that we see come on the market, I think the more this is going to be diluted. I mean, not everybody's necessarily looking
yeah.
for a David Price. You know, the Dodgers, while they would love to have a David Price or a Cole Hamels, and that would just be nasty. But, you know, Matt Latos might do the trick to fill it in for them. You know, I do think the Astros could use a top-of-the-line starter. Obviously,
yeah.
they have Dallas Keuchel there, who's nasty in his own right today. I do think they need a veteran pitcher, possibly some bullpen help there. So, but they're not going to have to give up a lot, at least comparatively not have to give up a lot. And you can even go back to the last trade deadline when David Price was sent from the Rays to the Tigers. I don't think the Tigers gave up too much, you know, in that trade either. So, I just don't think starting pitchers are demanding quite the prospect haul that they used to be. I think that teams might even be starting to shy away from the big dollars towards starting pitchers because I think that we just see the wear and tear on them nowadays. You know, obviously things change so quickly from season to season, and this is coming right after Max Scherzer got his mega deal from the Nationals. So, you know, I take it with a grain of salt, but. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, kind of going back to the Padres and the point there, I think they have to move some of their pitchers. I think basically the rumors are that all five of their starters are on the table and willing to be traded. Ian Kennedy, obviously, is a free agent at the end of the season as well.
And they're like you were talking about, David Price, there are a lot of big names on the market. The Tigers are another team who are really just opening up the phone lines. They've come out and said that anyone – they'll listen to offers on anybody who's in a, quote, walkaway year. So whoever's contract's expiring at the end of the season. That includes guys like David Price and Yoenis Cespedes. So there are some big names available. I mean, Cespedes is a bat, and there's not a ton of big bats out there, you know, if you're a team looking for that one last piece. Because pitching you can come by, but bats right now are a little tougher to find, and that may be – you know, something that's easier for the Tigers to move than David Price. I think they'll still be takers on David Price because someone like the Giants or the Dodgers or even the Angels or Rangers are going to go in on it. I don't know if the Astros are going to. They're not really in the we have to win a World Series now this year mentality. They're looking more down the road. But it'll be interesting to see how many of these guys actually move.
Yeah, and it looks like Tyson Ross and Matt Kemp were just pulled from the Padres game, so could be a deal happening there as well.
Whoever got their hands on Tyson Ross, I like him a lot, and I feel like he's maybe a little underrated to a lot of people, so I'm interested to see where he's going. There's a lot happening. This is one of my favorite times of year. I know it's yours as well, and we got plenty more big names to go through, one of them being Cole Hamels. As if we haven't heard enough stories about Cole Hamels getting moved, almost as many as Troy Tulowitzki. But he's on a different level than most of the names we're talking about in that he's controllable for multiple years beyond this year. And he's pitching very, very well his last few starts, which is making him much more attractive. Started the year a little shaky, but obviously he just had a no-hitter and things are looking good for him. The Phillies are asking for the world from teams. They're going very heavy because they, you know, obviously have the most attractive piece in that he's controllable, and none of these other guys really are. But on the same token, they're asking for so much that it may not happen. And I think there's still a chance they are dumb enough to hold on to him and try to trade him again in the offseason, which means they're going to get even less for him. I just, the way the Phillies front office has been running things of late, I'm not sure that they're going to settle for something when maybe they should, and they might try to just get too crazy and push themselves right out of this. That's what I'm worried about.
I think you're absolutely right. I would not be shocked if Cole Hamels was still a Philly after the trade deadline. I think that Ruben Amaro has waited way too long. I think he's kicking himself now, or should be kicking himself, I should say.
Yeah, he missed his window. His window was last trade deadline, was last offseason. He had chances, and he blew them. And now he can't get what he wants, and there's so many pitchers on the market now. And then you look at who's going to be available as a free agent, guys like Zach Greinke in the offseason. There's going to be a ton of ones and twos available, and all of a sudden you could just go sign somebody instead of giving up draft picks and having to take on that salary or prospects or whatever Ruben Amaro wakes up and wants tomorrow. I just, if they don't trade him by the deadline, they're never going to get close to what they want. And I still think they're asking for too much, and they're already scaring away teams. Teams have already taken themselves out of the running.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at it, like, why would a team like the Cubs or even the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers, I think, are now the clear favorites in the NL West. Why would they go out and empty their farm system for a guy like Cole Hamels when they could just basically just throw money? I mean, they have plenty of it at somebody like David Price in the offseason. And I think you could use that same mentality for the Chicago Cubs. You know, Jeff Samardzija is going to be another guy hitting the free agent market this November. So why empty them, you know, when you don't have to? And I don't think that it's going to happen. I think Cole Hamels will be a Philly. Or if he's not, I don't think he's going to get the haul.
If he doesn't move, Ruben Amaro is not employed after this season. You can't overcome this.
Yeah, I think he's out regardless. I think just the whole change in the front office staff.
I think he needs to be out. He's like a cat with nine lives, man. He's survived so many situations he should not have. I don't understand it.
Yeah, he's a lot of lives. He's like Omar Minaya. He's my new Omar Minaya.
I
would just hate on Omar Minaya because he was so bad. He's my new Omar Minaya. He's, can't even mention his name.
You know where we stand on Omar Minaya now, like, in case anyone was worried about that. A couple more big names. Speaking of Phillies, Jonathan Papelbon has gone south, and become a National. That's just going to make that rivalry a little bit uglier. I am not a huge fan of this move overall. Drew Storen's like 29 for 31 this season, and he's getting kind of demoted to the setup role. He was, a few years ago, a lights-out, phenomenal setup pitcher. But once you make a guy a closer, and now you're basically telling him, like, hey, you're good, but just not good enough for us, I don't like that. I don't think Jonathan Papelbon is what the Nationals were missing to get them over the hump. I don't think he's a huge upgrade from Drew Storen. And I think that maybe you're screwing with your chemistry a little more than this is actually going to help. What do you think?
I feel bad for Drew Storen. I tweeted it the other day. I mean,
if he wants to become a Cardinal, by all means, we can make that happen, because I would be so on board with that.
But why is he going to? He's not going to go there either. You guys have Trevor Rosenthal. They don't need him. I think this guy deserves a chance to close.
We could use about 28 closers and probably still not have enough. It never works out.
But I mean, even just think, like, monetarily. I mean, this guy, he keeps getting bumped. He's never going to hit closer status at where he's going, you know what I mean? He becomes a free agent, no team's going to pay him as a closer when he's been, like, the setup man. He's, like, always the bride thing, but never the bride. I mean,
I just want to give Drew Storen a hug. Like, I really feel like he needs that right now.
I feel like he's just had that, like, his that one postseason where he just, like, literally blew it for the Nationals, like, single-handedly. It's just, like, continuing to haunt him almost every season. I mean, last year, it was Rafael Soriano. They got him to fill in the hole.
Yeah.
You know, they had Tyler Clippard. I mean, obviously, either one of them or Soriano was, but not Clippard, a closer. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is the biggest smack in the face. I mean, Papelbon,
and
I
really,
mean,
it's like, if you don't believe in him, why is he your closer all season? And then you're like, you know what about this postseason? Just trade him somewhere else and start fresh. If you can't get on board, then just I mean, you can't have one foot in, one foot out. Just get on board or trade him. Like,
yeah,
I
think it's
like
tough
this.
Because
I don't like it at all.
But if you look at the Nationals, I mean, they never had a, I mean, Stewart was their closer. I think it was hands down, you know, in the preseason or offseason. Obviously, when Soriano was gone, I mean, he is their closer. So it's, you know, but I mean, why not fill him in with somebody who's willing to be a setup man? You know, obviously you can make the same argument on the other side. Well, why not just get the best pitcher, you know, in baseball who's available? Obviously Craig Kimbrel or Aroldis Chapman would have been better than Papelbon in my mind. But I mean, for what they gave up, it wasn't much to get Papelbon. So I kind of like that maneuver. But, you know, I think on one hand, I feel bad for Storm, but on the other hand, you know, this is the Nationals year. I think we're starting to see them beginning to crumble a little bit. So I think they have to be all in now. And I think this is a good move baseball-wise. Again, feel bad for the guy, but, you know, let's all suck it up and the Nats need to win now or probably never.
Yeah, I just I think that maybe closer wasn't their biggest concern. I think maybe they need to get at least one more bat with the fact that Zimmerman and Worth are constantly on the DL. You don't even know if either of them are really healthy. They're both coming off the DL right now. But I think you need another bat in that lineup or at least a strong bat off your bench before I would have worried about trying to fix something that wasn't broken. I don't know.
I mean, honestly, I think a Michael Morse back player would have been perfect for the Nats. I mean, he's a power back, play off the bench. He fills in that first base. Zimmerman
wasn't,
goes
didn't
down.
He kind of made
used to
his
be
name
that.
As a National. I mean, that
yeah.
was what, why not go back?
Yeah, I would have liked that trade.
Yeah, I would have too. And now he's going to be a Brave, it looks like. But again, this still isn't even confirmed. We've been on the air for half an hour, and they still can't figure out where he's going.
Oh yeah, we have no idea.
No, maybe by next show
move.
We'll know.
Maybe.
But a couple more to get to before we sign off. The Royals acquired Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist. I'm more excited about the Ben Zobrist deal, but Cueto does help their rotation going into what looks like a pretty certain playoff run. This just kind of helps their chances of being the AL favorite. I'm excited about this. I like what the Royals are doing. It seems like their moves are getting smarter, and they're not overreacting to having situations where, you know, maybe a pitcher gets rocked a little bit, it doesn't go quite the way you planned, bat slump. They're not overreacting, and I like that. They're kind of staying in their lane.
I like this a lot. I like both of these trades. I'm a big fan of. I mean, I think in Cueto, you get, you know, obviously a top-of-the-line starter, something they really didn't have last year. You know, they did have James Shields, but we all made fun of him for he was no longer big game James, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I like it. I do. I like these trades a lot. I think Zobrist gives them a lot of flexibility, something that I think they enjoy, you know, on the Royals with, you know, kind of the flexibility with some of their other players. So I like both these trades a lot, both rental pieces. But I don't think they gave up that much to get either one of them. I would have made the trade, but I do like them a lot. So I would say kudos. I think it just further cements that they're the best team in the NL Central. You know, maybe they're another pitcher away. I would like to see them get another pitcher because I still think it's a little shaky.
Mike Leake, do it. You'll be happy.
Yeah.
I promise.
I think a Mike Leake, like a Matt Latos, start like same.
Yeah.
Dan Herron. Look, Dan Herron's available, guys. Come get him.
Yeah.
You know, something like
we
that.
We could totally be running a team right now. We would be killing the trade deadline.
Oh, we would. Easily.
I mean, and I think as of this moment, I think the Royals are my winners of the trade deadline so far. I like what they've done, and they haven't given up a lot to do it, and they've improved with all of their moves. They're not subtracting to add, which I like.
I agree. I think I have to agree with you. I think the Royals are the winners as well from my end. Trying to think if there's somebody else who might be a close second,
I think a runner-up for me would be the Angels. Hear me out. Sounds a little crazy at first, because all they've done is trade for left fielders. On paper is what it looks like. And at first I was like, what on earth is happening? And then I thought about it for a little bit. So they've picked up Shane Victorino, David DeJesus, and David Murphy. Three players who on their own I'm a big fan of, but are, you could argue, David Murphy probably the best of the three at the moment, DeJesus and Victorino kind of on the downslope, and essentially they all play left field, which seems strange at first, especially because their outfield, aside from left field, pretty solid. But when you look at it, Victorino can play pretty much any position in the outfield. He and David Murphy could make a very nice platoon. David DeJesus can play some outfield, but he can also DH. This all of a sudden frees up Albert Pujols, Mike Trout, guys like that to get a rest so that they can be fresh going into the postseason, especially when you finally have a healthy Albert Pujols for the first time in like 5 years. All of a sudden, I'm super on board with what the Angels are doing. I would like to see them maybe get one more pitcher, maybe a Dan Heron, a Mike Leake, these kind of guys that we're talking about, because I'm a little concerned about C.J. Wilson, and maybe I want to see him be a left-handed reliever out of the bullpen come the postseason. But I think they need one more pitcher, and that they might be there. I don't know.
I love that. I love the what the Angels did. You're absolutely right, and I almost forgot about them because the moves were so
On paper, small, it looks crazy.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And then you kind of sit back for a minute and take it all in, and it makes a lot of sense. All of a sudden, I'm super on board.
It does, and I think this is, you know, kind of looking into it, this is the new era of the Angels. I think Jerry DePoto leaving, I think, has a lot to do with this new mentality. Jerry, you know, I was actually wasn't a big fan of him, but he's very set in his ways. He would throw money at all of his problems. I think this is a very much more not typical Angel-esque move, but I think a smarter baseball move. More of these segmenting players or augmenting players who are just going to come in, fill the roles where needed, kind of fill the void. I like these trades a lot. I think they help instead of going and emptying out your farm system for, you know, somebody like a Carlos Gomez. I mean, we saw what it's going to take to land him, and I just don't think the Angels have those types of prospects they can afford to give up. So I really like these trades a lot. I think it's going to help the Angels in the long run. And they have to do something because the Astros are obviously right there.
They're not going away. We're at the end of July, and they're not going away. I think that we have to take them seriously all of a sudden.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I like these trades a lot. I think it makes the Angels a better team. You know, they really, like I said, they really didn't give up. I think all the teams who did give up, I think the Rays, you know, were happy to get rid of DeJesus. I think the Red Sox were happy to get rid of Victorino. You know, Indians with Murphy. I liked all three. I liked them all for everybody. I mean, honestly, I think those were three win-win-win trades. Now that I think about it, I think those are good. That's a good runner-up to the Royals, because I think the Royals need some good acquisitions that, you know, maybe a bigger splash, but well-calculated, Angels, well-calculated.
I like this. We're on the same page today. That doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't.
Also, in terrible news, at the top of our show, Matt Holliday left the Cardinals game. He got hurt running the bases, and now, at the bottom of our show, it's being reported he's got a torn quad. So the Cardinals might be in the market for an outfielder. John Jay's still on the DL. So we'll see how that all plays out.
He's on my fantasy team, too. It's not good.
Yeah. That's a tough one. So we'll see how that's looking next week when we check back with you guys after the trade deadline has finally passed and we can see someday we're going to get resolution on the Matt Latos deal. We're going to see where Michael Morse is playing baseball. At that point, they might actually be playing baseball and not just sitting in a Marlins uniform in a dugout like they are right now. We're going to see.
Sure. We hope.
We sure hope. But in the meantime, feel free to find us all over social media. Eric will tell you where to do that. Check us out at number1baseball.com and let us know what you think about what your team's doing, who your winners and losers of the trade deadline are. We always love hearing from you guys. And we'll be back next week. So, Eric, where can they find us?
Absolutely. You guys hit us up on Facebook. It's facebook.com/number1baseball. You can also search for Now Off the Bat, doing a little bit of a rebranding there. Twitter, use hashtag Off the Bat or #1baseball with a numeric value 1. And as of today, you can now also follow us on Instagram. I'm not an Instagrammer, so who knows what's going to be on there. It might be a little crazy. So you're going to blame Jana for anything that happens on there.
It's going to be a good time.
But it'll be a good time, so definitely check us out there as well.
And so we'll see you guys next week. Happy trade deadline to all of you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.